Why don't I start just because I'm sitting here, and then I'm going to have anybody who has gadgets who may need to, you may need to move to get closer to the mic. This is actually, it's a speaker that I got. I got it from Blind Treasures, and it's a speaker. I put my Victor Reader Stream in it, and the reason I bring it to people's attention, because there are lots of speakers you can use with the Victor Reader Stream, but once you have the stream turned on, you can actually operate this with the speaker closed. It has a little window. If you face the speaker correctly, it has a little window that you can, it's covered with plastic. Some people have taken the plastic off. I have not, because I can feel the buttons through it. But you can use the speaker and read this with the stream without having to have it open. And it sounds pretty good, too. Comes in a hard case. It has both a wrist strap and a shoulder strap. It has a switch on it. It uses a 9-volt battery. It also can be used for iPods or other things. It has two little Velcro pieces that you use to lock the stream in so it doesn't fall out if you do open it.
It's just an external speaker?
Yeah.
So you just hear it?
Yeah. You plug in the cord that's attached to the to the jack on
the
stream.
Is it particular for the Victor Stream? Or just
No,
it's a mainstream product.
Okay. So is it like a real good quality speaker, like for music? Or is it, I have one from Radio Shack, like for $20 that I usually use.
This is like a $20, $30 item.
Okay.
If you have the stream inside the speaker, do you have to take it out of a case?
I just put the stream in. I didn't do the case. It costs, I got it for $20. I don't know whether the price has gone back up. That was a special. I got it from Blind Treasures. Blind Treasures is a company that's run by a blind guy named Tony Mead. He runs a mailing list as well. He advertises also on Blind Ad and Blind Attic and BST. And it works really well. The other thing I'm going to pass around, in case people haven't seen one, some of you, of course, have, but I had not seen a laptop this tiny. And this is what I won from Saratech. This is an Asus. You can get these now for about $300. They're not the fastest things in the universe. They don't have the, fastest processor speeds, but they certainly do work.
How's the keyboard?
The keyboard is fine, but it is little. It is small.
Sure.
So you have to be pretty careful. Mm-hmm. I normally type with key echo totally off because I cannot stand listening to the speech when I type. With this, I have to leave it on words because it's too easy to make an error.
Mm-hmm.
The keys are not very well defined, but you can get used to it. And it is tiny. It's running Windows XP. It came with Windows. The keyboard is very responsive, but it is slow. I tend to use System Access or WindowEyes with it rather than JAWS because they leave a much smaller footprint.
Yeah, and doesn't it have like 1 gig of memory or something?
It's 1 gig.
So JAWS would probably...
it's XP, so you can run JAWS on it, but it's just that the processor speed, which I forget exactly, but is pretty slow. I'm not sure you can even get this anymore because it's now they've upgraded them. This was bought in July and they've already upgraded it so it's faster and whatnot.
I think you can also get with some of these a bigger battery that'll you can run for like 6 hours or something.
Yeah, mine works. The battery on this one I can use for about 3.5 hours without plugging it in. But it is great. It has built-in wireless USB ports. It's the thing that I like most about it is compared to my old laptop, this is so light and so easy.
If you run System Access or WindowEyes, it doesn't slow down appreciably?
It's slower than my high-powered desktop, but you definitely can use it, and it's worth it if you're on the road, I think, for that kind of portability. You can get these for about $300 or $400. I mean, they're just so light that...
And it comes with XP, which is a nice advantage, too.
Yeah.
That has no serial ports on the side or anything like that. It's all USB?
It has USB. There's a... looks like an Ethernet port.
Yeah.
And two USB ports, I see.
Yes.
Two on one side, one on the
other.
One
on the other, yeah.
And an Ethernet port. And what might be interesting to some people is also a VGA port to plug in a monitor.
A monitor, yes. So,
yeah, for big monitors.
As far as I know, among the netbooks or whatever they're called, the Asus is the only one that has a VGA port on it.
Steve, what's your gadget?
My gadget is a range extender. A range extender is a device for boosting a wireless signal. This is not something that everybody will need to do, but if you live in a place where, for some reason or other, your wireless signal doesn't reach the components that you want to run off of it, and that's what happened to me. I could work with wireless devices as long as I was sitting in my office, but as soon as I got beyond my living room, what kind of wireless?
Is it specific to Wi-Fi or cellular or?
It is for Wi-Fi. I wanted to be able to sit out on the back deck and do stuff wirelessly, and I couldn't do it. And the way you can tell if you're having trouble with wireless stuff is, number one, if it takes forever, and I mean forever, to download something, if you find that the connection is disappearing on you from time to time, if your signal strength meter, if you have one, if you have a signal strength indicator, it says fair or poor, you know, those, of course, are obvious ones. You kind of want to have the strongest wireless signal that you can. And I checked into some other solutions. I have heard that you can put bigger antennas on some wireless routers. I have heard that you can move to a different protocol. The two protocols that most people know about are 802.1b and 802.1g. There is also an N protocol, but the problem with it is that they haven't really fixed the standard. It's not quite in place yet. So if you buy an N router now, you may find that within 6 months you're going to have to buy another one. So I didn't want to get into that, even though I have heard that N gives you substantially more signal strength. And besides which, the other issue is that if you have backward compatible devices, which all of my note takers are B, my computer, of course, will run G, but the note takers I have would run B, you're going to go back to B anyway, and you're not going to get the advantage of the N router. I couldn't put an antenna on my router, didn't want to get a new one because I like the way mine is working right now. So I got a range extender. It is made by Linksys. Linksys is the company name. The model number is kind of nice. They actually use model numbers that make sense. The model number is WRE54G, which, if you think about it, is a wireless range extender, 54. I don't know why 54. Probably the speed, because that's what most Wi-Fi stuff is 54 megabits. Megabytes.
They also use 54 in a lot of their model numbers.
Okay, yeah, they do. You're right. Not only did I find that it helped with the wireless situation, and I've got one now in the den, which is right close to the back deck. It helped with that wireless situation, and it worked so well that I bought another one, because it turns out you can have more than one of these things in a house. The thing I did not mention, the price and the place where you can get it. It's available from probably several places, but the one that I got it from is Newegg. www.newegg.com, and they seem to be having a sale on them, because the normal price is $90, and it was on sale when I checked this morning for $75. It's a box that's probably about 3 inches wide, about 6 inches long, and it's got a little stubby antenna that comes out of the one end of it, and you can flip the antenna to whatever position you want based on the way you mount it. It can sit on top of your desk if you want to do it that way, or it can be mounted with a couple of screws to the wall, and it comes with the hardware that you need for mounting it. So if you want to do that that way, you can.
No software to install?
There is software. Don't waste your time trying to use it, because it's inaccessible, but it also has a web interface, like most routers. To configure it, it has a power cord on it, a regular power cord. You can detach that power cord and snap on a little plug so that you can plug it into the wall like a wall wart. I don't recommend doing that because it takes up a lot of space and it may not be in the most optimum location that you want. When you configure it, normally what you do, there is a little cover up on the top side of the range extender. You open it up and you can plug an Ethernet plug into it. And you connect the other end of the Ethernet plug to your router. You log into the web interface, and the manual will tell you how to get there. And if anybody ever gets one of these things, I can help you with the configuration. Once you get it configured, you unplug it, and it goes wireless. As soon as you unplug the Ethernet cord, it kind of knows, and you're done. Then you just hook it up, and you turn on your wireless computer or note taker or whatever you have, and all of a sudden the wireless connection that used to be fair to poor will suddenly be good to excellent.
Do you have to have a Linksys router for it to work?
I don't believe that you do. It seems to me, from what I could see, to be configurable so that you could make it work with any router that you want. When you go in wirelessly, now it follows the Linksys conventions, which is to say that they usually use 192.168.1. whatever for your addresses. So it does kind of follow that. But if you're configuring it, which you do, with an Ethernet connection at first, you can change that to be anything you want. So it can work with any router you want it to work with.
How did it affect your icon?
I can do anything I want now with the icon again, where before I couldn't do anything with the icon at all. The only thing that I have occasionally run into is that sometimes I'll connect and it doesn't seem to be awake. All I've done in that case is I disconnected and reconnected, and it worked fine. So it may have just been that it took a couple of seconds to figure out that it was there. The other thing I found is that I was not able to use two icons in the same room because it seemed to confuse everything, and then neither one of them could connect. And I think that was just because there was too much wireless traffic and one signal just interfered with the other. But in general, you don't need to do that. And I don't think that's a flaw in the equipment. I think it's just the way wireless would work. I'm not sure I could use two wireless devices in the same room just with my router. I've never tried it, but I don't know what would happen if I did.
You had mentioned you got this at Newegg. I wanted to ask you about Newegg's accessibility.
It's very accessible.
I mean, the site is a little bit quirky, but once you figure out how it works,
it's crowded. It's a cluttered site, but it's an accessible site. It could be more usable, but it's very accessible.
The address for anybody who wants it again, www.newegg.com.
And the other thing is, if you don't want to use the website and you know what you're looking for, you can call them as well, and they're wonderful.
And I have to tell you, they are fast. I ordered this router, I think, on a Wednesday or Thursday, and I got it Friday. Yeah.
They have a warehouse
in New Jersey.
In Elizabeth.
Yeah.
So it goes on a UPS truck and drives overnight and goes out on deliveries the next day.
Tim, I think
you're
next.
All right, I'll come around.
What I'm demoing here today is the... probably a lot of you have heard about this, although this is an older version. The ID-Mate Omni from a company called Envision America. This is a talking barcode reader. This is an older version. This is version 2, which is a two-piece unit. It comes in a very nice leather case, and it's a little computer, and then it's got a separate piece, which is a wand. You run over the item, or you pass the item in front of it, and the newer unit, which is the one that's just come out, is a one-piece unit. It's everything, and they've put everything into the wand. Before I say anything else, let me first say this unit is not... If you buy this new, I was lucky enough to buy this used. If you buy this new, it's $1,300.
Ouch.
Which seems like a lot of money. One reason it's so expensive is because the barcode scanner is an omnidirectional scanner, which means that it'll find the barcode wherever it is on the item. And that's why the unit is so expensive. I was lucky enough to buy this from a friend of mine for $250.
Wow.
And then I bought the update for $50 for the database, which has over a million products in it. There's some other competing products. There's a product called Scan-A-Can, which I've never used, which is about half the price. It's about $550. And that also uses a scanner, but you plug it into your computer. It's not portable. You plug it into a USB port. And I don't know anybody who's used that, so...
What is it for?
I'm going to show you right now. I have a can right here. Whenever we go to the grocery store and we bring something home, we use it to scan it so we know what it is, or if we go into our pantry and grab a can, we know what it is. I'm going to turn the unit on.
ID made 2 by Envision America.
Oh, double talk.
Database version 2.4. ID mode.
So it's ID mode. So now I'm going to take this can. I'm holding the can above the scanner, and I'm just turning the can in my hand, and it's going to eventually find, hopefully, the barcode, and it will tell us what I've got in this can.
Oh.
And it's here we go.
Product: Hunt's Choice Cut Tomatoes.
Hunt's Choice Cut Tomatoes. So,
what were all those little sounds?
It beeps twice when the scanner first starts up,
right.
And then it beeps again when it finds the item in the database.
Yes, but then I heard other sounds.
Yes, the little chime is when it's finished. Sometimes it'll give you, you would be amazed what's on some of these products, because not only does it list the product name on some of these barcodes, but it lists the ingredients. It lists sometimes, how much is in the can. What?
Is it kosher or not?
Yes, actually, if it was kosher, it might say that. So sometimes, if there's more information, Okay, it just shut off. If there's more information, it'll beep again, and it'll tell you there's more information. You can use the up and down arrow to find out what other information is on the label.
That can you? That's the only information you had on it?
That's the only information. That's correct. Sometimes it'll, if you have a CD, it'll list the CD, it'll list the
name
of the song.
We've got some CDs over on the desk over there if somebody wants to go get one.
Let me try another. I brought another can, so let me try that.
Yeah,
hold on a second.
Oh, chocolates, yeah.
Yeah, we have a chocolate box of chocolates.
We'll try that. We'll do that too in a second. We'll do that too in a second. And, okay. So,
doing the box of chocolates would be interesting because it's easy to find the barcode on a can because you're just moving it around.
That's
but
right.
Finding the barcode on other products can be difficult.
Or the chilies, green diced.
Mm-hmm.
Continued.
So it said continued. So now if I do that, my down arrow key on this.
Package size. 4 ounces can.
4 ounces can.
Oh.
So.
Product.
So let's try the.
Chili's green diced.
Let's try the CD that she just handed me here. We'll see.
Memo. Memory. Help. IT mode.
Okay. So it works pretty well. We do it mostly for our groceries, and I would say it identifies like 99.9% of the stuff.
Do you go shopping with it, or?
We do Peapod. Okay. So when the stuff comes,
mm-hmm.
When the stuff comes from Peapod, we just scan it afterwards.
Hold on.
Artist. Mm-hmm. Various artists. Title. Sounds of the Season, Sony 1997.
Sounds of what?
Continued.
Sounds of the Season. So let's go down.
Tracks. One. Santa Claus is coming to town. Two. Teddy's son.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Three. Hope would be a turkey for. Four. Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
What a jolly fellow.
Blue Christmas. Six. Oh, holy night.
I'm so tired.
Seven. Snowfall.
Well, you can speed him up. I just slowed him down
Eight.
For this demo. You can't.
Celebrate me.
Sounds like me on the 26th.
Ten. Winter Wonderland. 11. Merry Christmas, baby.
Did it say which artist does
the
song?
No, it didn't. No, it didn't say that. It didn't say that. But the thing that I mean, we've heard about this for years, and we just said there's no way we can afford this because it's a lot of money. But we got it for such a good, and it's like I can't imagine how I ever lived without it. I mean, it is just the most awesomest thing. And
let's try the box of chocolates because Ed's right. The barcode.
All right, we will do that.
Boxes are hard.
We will do that.
The barcodes have the product identity in them. So what they put in the database will be what this tells you.
That's correct.
So
for example, if it comes up with a product that's not in there in the database and says product not found, what you can do is you can record your own information about the product. Mm-hmm. So next time you buy that product, it'll be in the database. So you can add to the database. You can also get your own barcodes that are stickers and stick-ons. So for example, if you wanted to label all your CDs with this, or they even sell, which kind of cracks me up. They even sell a set of playing cards with barcodes on them.
Uh-huh.
So Well, no, this has a headphone jack. So
yeah.
Even better.
Right.
You just hit the thing.
Exactly. Right. We're gonna do the chocolates now here.
Product. SHP4CS sampler S Chuck. Continued.
Oh, pretty good.
Product description. 12.00 ounces. Product.
So we're back to the beginning. So that's pretty good.
Well, what did it say? I couldn't
say. 12.00 ounces.
But what did it say the product name was?
It said SH.
Yes. SHP.
Yes.
Chalk
sampler.
Yeah.
12.00 ounces.
Did you say
sampler
too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The database
product.
Is...
SHP4CS sampler S Chuck.
Yes.
Chuck.
The databases are sometimes very crudely
constructed. And all it's doing is just, and these are databases that are made by big companies, and they sometimes they're very good about what they put in there. Sometimes,
so I'll pass this to my right.
I've even seen frozen food.
Oh, I'll pass it to the left. There you go.
I've seen frozen food stuff where not only did you got the instructions, the cooking instructions.
Really?
Yeah. But you can't count on it being reliable because it depends on what was put in the database.
Yeah. But you're saying, Tim, on a daily basis, it gets pretty much everything for you.
I would say if we do a grocery shop, it gets 99.99% of the items.
Now, this will handle, like, a pound of ground beef and stuff like that?
Yes. You can do ground beef, anything that's got a barcode. A pound of ground beef from your grocery store, it'll do, if you've got, stuff in your medicine cabinet.
The gamble, though, is what's in the database. And you may get nothing more than the name of the product, or you may get...
But if you don't have your reader there, it's a lot more than what you're going to get otherwise.
That's
when you
right.
open five cans to find the beans and you're getting four soups.
And how often do you update the database?
Now, this one, this is the older unit, so I can't update this anymore. I updated this to the latest version. The new units that they have out, I think they're coming out. They come out with an update about every 6 months.
Uh-huh. And what does the update cost?
6 months.
It's like $50.
I mean, it costs a lot of money, but you might want to look on if you have friends with lots of money who give away their, who like you sell products, it's a good thing.
Or this, these might be on eBay. Who knows?
Right.
Occasionally,
some on eBay.
Yeah, occasionally you do find them on eBay.
Yeah.
But you find them on the blindness-related
blindness-related
email lists, like for buying, selling, like BST and... Blind Addict. You can find them on eBay sometimes. Let me explain. There are a variety of email lists. There are tons of email lists that are blindness related, and some of them are specifically for buying, selling, and trading of different blindness related products. I sold a Braille and Speak for somebody recently for $50. Mm-hmm. I sold a mini disc recorder recently. I sold the cookbooks and children's books in Braille recently. Blind Addict, which is Blind Addict, it's Blind-Addict. That's one list. If you Google them, they'll give you the...
It's run by
Blind Treasures.
It's not Yahoo, is it?
No. If you go to blindtreasures.com, you'll get information about the Blind Addict list there. I believe it is on... It's something he runs himself. And so you can subscribe from there. BST is Buy, Sell, and Trade. That's a Yahoo Groups list. So like any Yahoo Groups list, if you go BST-subscribe@yahoogroups.com, you can subscribe. The other one is Blind Ad. And that one is, it's Blind Ad, and it's at maelstroms.stjohns.com.
EDU.
But again, if you Google Blind Ad, you'll find it. I will get subscribe information, and I'll have Steve put it up on the Buybook page. And Blind Bargains is another thing. Blind Bargains, J.J. Medaw runs around and finds all the lowest prices on things. Like, I needed to buy an iPod for my daughter, so I said to him, do you know what the lowest price is on an iPod and where to find it? And he did. So he will take custom questions, and he publishes a list every day of latest bargains that people have asked him to find. I would say one difference is Blind Addict is only buy, sell, and trade. Blind Ad has a lot more people on it, but it's also much more discussion.
Tim, can you give the name of the thing again?
Sure. It's the ID Mate Omni. And the company is called Envision America, and the website is www.envisionamerica.com.
Envision.
And they're very nice because after I got the unit and I'd ordered the database online, the woman called me up and she said, well, are you sure this is the database that you want? And I said, yes, because I've got the older unit. It takes a regular compact flash card is where all the data is stored.
With the new model, are there any enhancements over the one you have?
Yes, the new model, the major enhancements is I think there's a more different memo mode, so you can actually record notes for yourself. And the new model, apparently with a new database, has a lot more, not only of the product names, but like cooking instructions and things like that, and package directions.
Tim,
and
even that old one will record notes.
Yes, it will. It will record notes.
You can do that.
You can do that. That's true.
Record?
Yes, you can. You can record yourself little notes, like little memos or
voice.
Voice. Yes, voice.
Yeah, it has a memo section.
The new one will do that too?
Yes.
I sometimes have students who cannot really learn Braille because of neuropathy or something mm-hmm. like that. I often recommend something like the Sherlock. Mm-hmm. This is a voice labeler.
The difference is that the Sherlock doesn't use barcode.
Right.
The Sherlock uses... So the difference is with the Sherlock... They would have to record their own labels.
That's right.
That's the biggest difference between the
but,
two.
But you can do the things
yes.
that you can do with the Sherlock in addition
yes.
to the barcode.
You
yes.
can make
right?
a label on this.
Yes.
And
yes.
you can attach it to something.
You can buy. You can buy. They sell. You can buy stickers that have barcodes. And you
oh,
can
great.
Attach to anything. You
right.
can. You can have iron-on ones. You can iron into your clothes. They have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wow. difference is that this is a lot more expensive.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah right.
But it can do more.
Yeah.
Of
sure.
Do you guys do still your own labeling with this or?
All my CDs, for example, are already in Braille.
Right.
So I wouldn't use that for this. But if we do have an item that we get that we don't, it's not in the database, we'll add it to the database.
Okay.
People say, well, why don't you just, once you find out what the kin is, why don't you put a Braille label on it?
Right.
Well, you know, I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Well, so.
But there's another reason not to put a Braille label on it, and that is that once you use the can,
yeah.
you throw the can away
well,
and you get a new can that doesn't
yeah,
have a Braille label
it, yeah.
on it. So
you can get magnetic,
yeah,
you can get magnetic tape.
Can
I mean, yes, you could, yeah.
Rubber
you could,
bands. And
right,
stuff.
You can do that
yeah.
kind of stuff.
That's
yeah.
my question.
Yeah.
Do you even bother to
no,
do that?
No, because I know I've got the database there, and I know, and it's still so much quicker finding a can, you know, all the soups are in one place. Yeah.
So you keep this in your kitchen?
Actually, I do.
Cans are very easy. Every morning, you know, I feed my 18-year-old kitten, and I want to make sure she has a different variety each day. So I can do that in seconds, because cans are so easy. But when you want to grab something frozen out of the freezer, it's almost impossible to find those barcodes, because they could be anywhere. So
and they could have ice on them.
Well, you could get the ice off.
Yeah.
You still have to figure out where the barcode is.
Right. You still have to figure out. But I mean, that's part of the thing. Since this has an omnidirectional
yeah.
barcode scanner, it does make it a lot
do
easier.
Do any of you use the scanner feature, you know, where you check yourself out at the grocery store?
I do
too. I would much rather do that than and I love having that thing talk to me. I just think it's so cool. Being
oh,
the
right.
techie
you're
wannabe that I am. It's kind of like that. Is you have to be, you know, you have to be willing to turn the thing until you get it. And sometimes, you know, what happens if you are trying to find the damn barcode and you're taking a long time? Does it shut off?
It eventually does time out. But
does
I,
it yell at you first?
No,
it
says it won't beep and then it'll finally just time out. But then you
okay.
just start it again.
Right, right,
so
okay.
It's
okay.
not a big deal.
But
how long is the start up?
Oh, it starts up and once you turn it on, it's in about 2 minutes. It's ready to go. I mean,
okay.
and it defaults to the scanning mode. So. You know, you turn on, it says ID mate, it gives you the serial number, and then it goes right into the scanning mode because it's assumed you're going to scan.
How long are you sending all size stuff?
I don't actually bring it to the store with me. That's the other thing I was going to mention, is you can either plug it in or it's got rechargeable batteries in it. You know, you get a couple hours off of each charge.
So can you walk it to a shelf with this thing and just, will it get confused?
Because it gets confused because
mm-hmm.
there's too many barcodes. You've got
to
get the, you know,
you have to pull the package to it.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Do you store your cans with a particular orientation or do you just turn them around for every can?
For example, all our soups we probably try to put together. Our, you know, tomatoes and kind of stuff like that we try to put together.
Oh, okay. But if I'm asking, like, did you try to store, like, barcode out to make it easy?
Oh, no.
Because you can't. How do you know where the barcode is?
Once you've done it, then you know where the barcode is.
Well, no. Because it's not...
Here's the problem, though, Ed, that if you've got a bunch of cans together, they're going to get jostled as you rummage around looking for things. Now, for instance, we have... international coffees that we get, and they come in a rectangular can,
mm-hmm.
and I happen to know that the barcode on that particular can is on the side away from the seam, so
on the short side
of the can. But That's because it's a rectangular can and it's got a nice big seam in one side, and I figured that out. But if the can is round, you got no way of knowing.
You really just...
Not a big...
But cans are easier if you can just turn them around.
Yeah,
right.
It's pretty easy, yeah.
You have no idea if it's top, bottom,
right.
Long side, short side.
And see, that omnidirectional scanner, not only... You're spinning the can, but the scanner itself, the head in the scanner, is actually moving. The thing is about the size of the front of a hairdryer. It kind of almost looks like one. You know, and that can sometimes be a good thing because it'll find it, but sometimes you're spinning the can and the scanner is moving, and they just pass it.
And it's also searching through the whole database. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, this isn't a Pentium 4 in this computer. In this
but it searches through the database once it's actually read the barcode.
Yeah.
And so until when you hear that beep, it's read the barcode.
It's probably one of the best investments I've made in the last 5 years in terms of...
Has you had any experience with other... I mean, like, I know Freedom Scientific makes one that hooks up to the PacMate. I don't know. I think it's about $1,000.
Well, yeah, and like I said, there's the Scanacan, which is about $500, which hooks up to a USB port on your... computer.
But do you really want to have your computer sitting in the kitchen, or do you want to bring all your
well, that's...
Yeah, no, that's right. A good point.
The other thing, if the cheaper ones do not use omnidirectional scanners...
Actually, the Scanacan, omnidirectional scanner.
Well, so nobody else has any experience with scanners, huh?
I just can't see spending that kind of money just to scan my can. Nora, you have two things.
If you have Verizon Wireless, you know, they have that thing where you can upgrade your equipment every couple of years or every year. Or whatever. And so this phone, if you have Verizon Wireless service, was $100, and then there's a $50 rebate. So it's $50, and it was definitely worth $50.
Do you know what the price of it is if you have to buy it?
I don't.
$200, I believe.
It's called the Gleam. It's a Samsung phone, I think exclusively with Verizon Wireless. I had an older Samsung phone that would read menus somewhat. But the interesting thing about this one is that it not only will read deeper into the menus, it will read your contact list. So, you know, if you have a phone book in there, you can scroll through the list of contacts and it will read the names to you. The other thing that it will do is read text messages that are incoming, the date and the time and the text of the message.
Is it accessible to enter phone contacts? Is it easy to enter phone contact, enter new contacts?
I did it from backed up on the computer.
Okay, right.
So I didn't, no. It's not
it's
accessible
not
that way.
It's not going to be voice output.
No, not when you're entering
the
contacts. But if you can get it in there, you can scroll through it so you don't have to remember. Because I would sometimes, on the old Samsung phone, use the voice dialing, but you have to remember exactly how you had the name entered and say it in whatever weird way it will recognize. And this way you can actually, if you have a big phone book, it's easy to find. So those are the biggest features about it. I honestly haven't had it that long, so I haven't had much of a chance to play with it. I don't know how to do text messaging. I've never done it before. I'm kind of curious to find out about that. As far as sending text messages, it has one of the, you know, it's the alphanumeric thing, so you, as long as you know how a keypad is set up, you can reasonably accurately figure out what letters you're typing in.
Will it tell you how much of your battery's left?
I don't know. Let me see.
Contact one.
Let's see.
Message in 1,
getting
now 1,
using
in tone. Settings and tools
1, my
account.
I don't know. 2,
tool, 3,
Bluetooth
value 4, sound settings. 5, display settings 6, phone settings.
I wonder if it's phone settings.
Phone settings 1, standalone mode 2, set short
touch key
3,
voice.
But I mean, but you know. Past models of Samsung phones, once you got past that first menu level, wouldn't read anything.
Location 6. Security.
I'm just amazed that it will read the contact lists.
Settings and tool 6. Phone settings.
I'm surprised it doesn't have a phone status command or something like that.
It does in the voice recognition thing.
Yeah.
You know, I know you can say things like check battery, and it will tell you the battery level. In the voice commands menu, like you can do check, you can tell it check time. It'll tell you what time it is, check date.
Can you check your signal strength? Can you say check signal or whatever?
If it does signal strength.
Please say a command.
Check signal strength.
Current signal strength, 1x. Signal strength, 3 bars.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Cool. Can you ask for the battery strength, too?
Okay. Let's see here.
Please say a command.
Check battery.
Current battery level, full.
If you go to the Verizon site, they're not promoting this phone. They're still promoting the yeah. LG phones. And this phone, I think, goes even deeper into the menus than the LG phone.
Yes, it does. Because I had an LG phone before. I had the most. My last one was a Samsung, but the one before was an LG.
Do they have accessible manuals in any way?
I think that you can get them online.
They're probably PDF, though. But what's worse is that they're PDF, which has some text, but probably a lot of pictures and graphics. It will say things like, to change the sound, press the key three times.
And the is blank, by the way. Yeah.
Until you hear, and those may be letters that they've used to represent graphics, and you're not going to know what they mean. So you're probably going to have some. You said that you got the contacts in from your computer. Does that mean that there is a piece of software that you can buy that will let you manage your contacts from your computer?
Yeah, and it was. And the only reason it worked was because I had the previous phone that I had was a Samsung phone also.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of it, and it's probably a completely illegal bootleg piece of software from Singapore.
But it wasn't anything that Verizon had that you could...
No. And in fact, I'm sure it voided all warranties and all of that. And it was
but if you'd taken your old phone to the Verizon store, they could have switched your contacts.
That's true, yeah.
And they have a backup service for your contacts.
But they charge you a monthly fee for it.
But the problem is if you get new contacts and you want to put them into the phone, you want to have some way of being able to do that.
Is there a voice way, do you know, of entering the contacts like there was in the old LG phone? In the old LG phones, there's a thing that says, do you want to save, create, or add a contact? And then if you say add, it'll say, please say a name, and then it'll say, you know, please enter the phone number.
I have not gone that far into it. I wonder
if... Please say a command.
Add contact.
Please say the name.
Oh.
Wow.
Bob.
Please say the name.
Bob.
Please say the name.
Well, wow. I guess it takes some playing, but it's apparently.
Wow.
Maybe he doesn't like Bob.
Yeah, maybe.
Sophisticated name.
How did you learn of this?
I heard about it. Was it on Main Menu?
It was. Yes.
It was. Yeah, that's where I heard about it. And I was like, I'm calling Verizon tomorrow.
And for people who don't know what Main Menu is, Main Menu is a technology-related show that is on ACB Radio. ACB is one of the two major consumer organizations, national consumerizations of blind people. One way to keep up with technology is to listen to Main Menu. You go to www.acbradio.org. And then you go to the mainstream. They have different streams. You can listen to Main Menu live, or you can listen to the replay or the archive.
You can subscribe to it as a podcast.
And you can subscribe to it with a podcast. Yeah, that's right. And you can also subscribe to it as a podcast.
You know, it's not perfect, but it's a whole hell of a lot cheaper than, you know, buying a phone and installing $400 worth of software on it, so.
Nora's now going to talk about the new accessible iPod Nano.
So I went, actually, to two different Apple stores, just curious to see if the people who work there could explain to me how it would work and how easy it was to set up. And the first one had no idea what I was talking about, which was not very encouraging. And then I went to the one on Boylston Street, and they actually looked it up on one of their computers in the store with a massive monitor and actually helped me found the instructions on how to do it. When you get this, the two things that you need to do, and it's really simple, to enable the speech menus, you have to make sure that, at least from Windows, you go into Control Panel, make sure that your speech is on, and you can set the rate in there. And then the only other thing is when you plug this thing into your computer and you have iTunes, this window will come up with 5 checkboxes, I think, on this page, and one of them is enable spoken menus for accessibility, and you just check that box. And I guess what it does is it uses Windows to generate the speech and then loads those files back into the iPod, and it actually works surprisingly well. I was really amazed. Do you know how iPods are set up? Their controls are kind of like a donut. It's like a circle, and the top is menu, left is back, or rewind or whatever, right is forward, and the bottom of the circle is pause or play, and if you hold it down, that's what powers it off. And then the center of the circle is sort of like the select key, and on the bottom of it there's the earphone jack and the port that you use to plug it into the computer, and on the top there's a little tiny tiny switch that locks the control so that when you shut it off it doesn't turn itself back on in your pocket or whatever. Let me see here.
Podcast extra.
So this is, and you track your finger around the circle to go through the menus.
And now, have you gotten pretty used to that, Nora?
It didn't take that long to get used to. And it and you get this like audible sort of click as you go from item to item.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear it? And
yeah.
So it, and then
shuffle songs,
and then you hit the bottom.
Music.
So
music artists.
Now, it's not totally accessible all the way through. Like, setting the time isn't accessible, although, you know, your computer sets the time anyway, I suppose, if you wanted to change it.
Can you read the time?
No.
Right? So it doesn't really matter. Even if you set it, you can't read it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the other thing is you can't read the battery level, which is, it's absolutely minute up in the upper right-hand corner. Supposedly, if you're just playing music, this thing will last close to 24 hours. I haven't tested that.
Now, did you get the 8 gig or the 16 gig?
I got the 16. The 8 is, I think, 150. The 16 is 200. The kid was such a dope. I mean, he was nice, but I mean, he's saying, well, you know, at Apple, we're all about accessibility. And I was like, oh, geez, that was... So I said, well, that must explain why I took 4 lawsuits instead of 12 to make it happen.
But this Nano, this is only shuffle mode. Can you actually find songs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this is music.
Control.
Music. Artists. Compilations.
Yes. Because you control all this.
Cover flow.
See the volume.
Playlists.
Yeah.
So you can get playlists.
Artists. Albums. Songs.
So songs by name, artists by
albums.
Name.
Artists.
So
can you make
artists.
Playlists?
Yeah. You can make playlists on iTunes and then, and then transfer them. Yeah.
Marcy me. The name Sally.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just, well, there are so many things in here. It's just
Peter Gabriel.
It's just
the police.
But now it's clicking a lot. Is that because you're going fast?
It's because I'm going fast.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff on here.
Okay.
Now, how accessible does anybody know is iTunes?
iTunes 8 is fairly accessible with JAWS 10.
Yeah.
You have to have JAWS 10 and you have to have iTunes 8.
How about WindowEyes?
I have not tried it with WindowEyes, but I know that WindowEyes had a greater accessibility even before. I think somebody sells scripts or has scripts for iTunes on the WindowEyes Script Central site.
Because it sounds like all these iPods are really configured and maximized to work with iTunes.
You have to have iTunes.
Yeah.
You really have to have iTunes to get it to work.
You can't use it without it.
Will this take MP3 files?
Though? Yeah, it takes MP3 files. It doesn't take protected WMA files.
Right.
But as we all know, there are ways around that.
But you said protected WMA file.
I don't know I don't know if it does regular WMA.
I would doubt it.
Isn't the iTunes store, if you buy stuff at the... Isn't it like in some MP4 or some proprietary format?
It is a proprietary format.
Oh, yeah, anything from iTunes.
Anything from iTunes is a proprietary format. You can't take iTunes content and put it on your stream, for example.
What iTunes will do is if you you don't have to just have iTunes content.
Right.
If you have a music library on your computer, you can add all of your own music
right.
files into the library.
Mm-hmm.
So,
does this handle simply music? Other
no, actually, the thing
forms.
About iTunes that I like is I like the podcatcher on it. So it'll play podcasts, it'll play music, it'll play Audible books. And I didn't actually have to do anything to... You know how with the stream you have to get your key and enable it to play? And this you had to do nothing. I guess it's...
We had to add the device with an Audible manager, no?
No, you don't. No. It found it and did it and... You know, I subscribe to the New York
mm-hmm.
Times thing
yeah.
free and says you. And they both just download as podcasts right into it. I had to do nothing.
You just had to plug it in.
Yep, I just had to put in the address, you know, that you get from Audible. The emails that tell you your thing is ready to download.
Audible.com is actually a commercial site that has a wide variety of audiobooks, podcasts, newspapers, magazines, plays. There are two things about Audible that I really like. You pay a subscription fee. It's not free. Depending upon what you want, you can get like a magazine and a book for one price or... 2 books a month for another price. The thing I really like about it is, A, they get a lot of things immediately. Like, often
mm-hmm.
I'll go before anybody else has the newest book I want to read. Audible has it. Their readers are also, because they're commercially recorded books, they're good. The other thing I really like is that the customer service folks at Audible know about screen readers. They are very patient. They are wonderful. And one of the things I really like, I've been an Audible subscriber for about... 7 years. And 2 months ago, I never usually let it go until the end, but my subscription happens to end on the 30th. Well, I thought it was the 30th inclusive, and I had been traveling, so I hadn't done it. So all of a sudden, I looked and it said I had 0 credits, and on 30th, I went, wait a minute, I had 2 credits, what happened? So I called them, and I just said, is my subscription inclusive of the 30th or exclusive? Does it end on the 29th? And they told me, and I said, okay, because I just lost 2 credits, and they said, well, you'll have to use them within the next month, but we can refund those for you. I mean, they're just so nice. Back when not very many blind people were on Audible, they actually had me do, for some of their customer service team, they did a conference line some years ago, and they had me demonstrate how to do it with a screen reader so their folks could learn. You can download it onto your... Actually, you can download it directly onto your iPod, I guess. I download it onto my computer and then transfer it to whatever device I want to use it with, because it works with a Victor Reader Stream. It works with your Braille Plus or your Icon if you own one.
It works with a BookPort.
It works with a BookPort if you have one of those. It works with a large number of mainstream and...
Olympus.
Olympus.
Zenstone.
Zenstone. It works with a variety of devices that are both either devices that are for blind people or just mainstream devices. Also, the nice thing is, say Nora put 10 books on her iPod, and then she read them all and deleted them. Those are always available. Your library is always available online, so you can re-download books. Any book you've ever purchased, you can re-download.
Even if you end your subscription, even if you decided to cancel Audible tomorrow, and 6 months from then you went back, I guess you can still download the books that are in... that you bought.
That are in your library.
Yeah, right.
Oh. Yeah. I don't tend to reread books, but I have probably 300 to 350 books on my library.
How is the iPod for actually reading a book in terms of moving through a book?
I only read part of one book. I actually just sort of had it on there as an experiment, and I actually ended up reading it mostly on the stream. But the thing that surprised me was that, and this was in the menu feedback, it broke it down into chapters. Once you selected the book, you then were able to select the chapter, so if you lost your place... I mean, you can't bookmark, but supposedly if you stop at a certain place and come back, it will remember where you were.
Can you speed things up?
You can speed things up. There is a selection in iTunes, I think, for increasing the speed for reading audiobooks specifically.
Oh, but you can't. But
you can't do it on the fly.
No. And it's limited.
Cool.
It is cool. Do you want me to pass it around? It's got, just to tell you, it's got a case on it.
I'm interested to hear that you said that the wheel is something you've gotten used to, because I would think that would be a real...
Well, the funny thing is, with that case on it, it raises the surface of it, so it makes the wheel itself, you know, while it's very flush to the to the device, when you put that particular hard case on it, or any case, it's going to have a cutout for that hole. That gives you guidance for feeling it.
Okay.
So...
Okay.
That's a good solution to the... That's a better solution to the problem than the one that was suggested a couple of weeks ago at ACB by Jim Denham. And what his solution is, when he wants to feel around the wheel, he locks the iPod, finds the control that he wants, and then unlocks it to let it... You know, which is... I like the idea of the case much better.
And I mean, it's, you know, tactily very easy to feel because of the case.
Which model is this again?
It's the Nano Chromatic, I think they call it.
It's fourth generation.
It has to be the fourth generation.
Yep.
You're right.
That's just the only thing it will work with is the iPod Nano fourth generation.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be confused with... There are old Nanos. There are older Nanos. Mm-hmm. Nanos is a trademark they've had for a while. And the older ones that you'll see for a lot cheaper, they do not work with this. This is the only model. It comes in 8 gigabyte and 16 gigabyte models only.
Oh, yeah. If you shake it, it'll skip to another song.
Just shake and
just go ka-chunk and it makes this bleep noise.
iPods always require either a speaker or earphones.
Yeah.
And we just used this little speaker that I brought in to demonstrate how to use it. Now, does the iPod have a volume control?
When you're playing a song, the wheel then becomes the volume control.
Okay.
Left is lower,
got it. Because we didn't have it up very high because of the... It also comes in colors for anybody who cares.
Yeah, mine's red.
Play a movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not you won't get the video. You'll just get the audio.
No, you get the video.
No, you get
oh,
the
you
video.
Do get the video.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
my,
okay.
My son loves this because he's 8, and the iTunes Store.
Yes.
When I was looking at podcasts, there were these things that said they were video
yeah.
podcasts, and I thought, what the hell are those? And so there's one that's it was best of YouTube or something like that. So I've got all these videos on there of like cats falling down stairs and people going off ski jumps and hitting walls. Because
no. it's a little tiny screen. It's not a big
screen.
Is
the screen visible on the surface of it?
This is the screen. The news programs, like you can get ABC and NBC newscasts in video on it for nothing.
Yes, my son has one of these, and he has put TV shows on here, movies.
Mm-hmm.
The 16-gigabyte one can hold 4,000 songs or...
Like 200 hours.
Like 200 hours, I think, yeah, video. It's ridiculous.
It's smaller and lighter than a phone.
I have sort of a general question on all these things to use these memory cards.
Mm-hmm.
You go onto Newegg and you can buy 10 million brands. Do you think does it make any difference?
Yes.
I do think so.
You still stick with the name brands?
One of the problems with some of the non-name brands is you may discover that the card, that, especially the cheaper ones, the ones that are really cheap, are actually cards that have been rejected in testing.
Oh. Great.
So you don't really want to go that
I use either SanDisk or SanDisk is my first preference. It's
yeah.
a little more expensive, but you know
right.
what? They
go on
sale
a lot.
Go on sale a lot.
Yeah.
And they have warranties.
And they're reliable.
And they're very reliable.
I think doesn't the stream, that's what they specifically recommend.
Yeah,
I got a cheap 4-gig card for the stream.
Yeah.
And it was just a disaster. And now, actually, I gave it to a relative who uses it for a camera, and they say it's no problem for a camera, which is weird.
Well, that's hard to believe. Yeah.
But for the stream, it was just impossible.
Well, the stream absolutely requires high-capacity cards.
Anything above 2 gig is a high capacity.
Right.
True, but here's the problem. The card that you got for cheap may have failed the high-capacity test, and the manufacturer just isn't telling you.
Yeah, I know some people who've had good luck with some of the non-name brand or lesser-known cards, but I don't tend to buy them. I go to Newegg, or I go to
J&R,
Memory for Less. I'll go to DealRAM.com and search for them. That's a site that allows you to search for different kinds of memory or from...
Crucial.com.
Yeah, Crucial.com, by the way... is a good site if you want to add more memory to your system and you don't know what kind of memory you have on your system and what the capacity of your system is, of your motherboard to handle more memory. Crucial.com is a place that you can scan. It will literally use a tool and scan your system and tell you what kind of memory it recommends that you get and how much you can get.